For the last several weeks, actually months, I've been talking to you about missions. Six straight messages on missions. So I'm going to give you a break today. We're going to be talking about another topic that is very dear to my heart and very necessary in building up a good, loving Christian community. As you can see on the slides, today's topic is the topic of hospitality. The subtitle to our message today is Building Bridges to Our Friends, Neighbors, and the Christian Community. On the back of your bulletin is a more extended outline. Very simple message today, very simple outline after our introduction. I don't know what those waves are, but we have point number two, the hospitality commands. Point number three, hospitality in the Christian community. Point number four, hospitality and our friends and neighbors. I want to remind you that the book of the month for this month is actually on this topic, and that's why we're speaking on this today. We still have a stack of these back on the white shelves, and so if you would like to have one of these free for the taking, they are yours. Hospitality commands, the Hospitality Commands by Alexander Strauch. This message is actually loosely based on the book. Introduction. Have you ever noticed that in our generation, we have all the modern machines that people 100 years ago never had? We've got dishwashers, we got rice cookers, we got all these things to help us make our meals, cut down on the time, and yet we are one of the most, the busiest generations maybe in history. I don't know about you, but when I get a night off with Cindy, I feel like a dead cell phone. I need to be plugged into the wall and recharged for the next day. Where do we fit in this topic of opening our doors to the Christian community? And so, in our hyper-busy society, we in the church really need new, fresh teaching on the subject of Christian hospitality. Our men today, 20 years ago, we worked a 40-hour work week. Today, companies are asking us to work 50, 60-plus hours. Moms have so much going on. The kids today have all kinds of programs almost every night of the week. And so, hospitality is a topic we need to talk about. Tragically, says Alex Strauch, most Christians today neglect the ministry of hospitality. And he says that we're missing a valuable jewel in the crown of Christian life and service. And this is so very important. What we're going to see today is something magical happens in your home when we open up our doors and we share a meal. I remember one of my favorite quotes by Martin Luther. Martin Luther, I've heard it said that he said this, "I've done more for the kingdom of God around my kitchen table than I have ever done from the pulpit." It shows the importance of building up the Christian community, of helping our churches to be more loving communities. Here's why this is so important. The New Testament writers, Paul, Peter, John, and the writer of Hebrews, made hospitality a scriptural command. It's a duty. This is not salad bar theology. You know what salad bar theology is, right? You go to the salad bar, you take what you like, and you leave the rest. We don't do that when we come to the scriptures. This topic of hospitality is actually a duty, and it's a command. And what we're going to see today, that it's not only for the elders of the Christian community, but three times we are commanded in the New Testament to open up our homes to hospitality. So let's begin our study. Point number two in your outline. As you notice, the book of the month that we're recommending is actually called The Hospitality Commands. There's a reason why this book has this title. Hospitality is a command. Here's our first one. Letter A in your outline, pursue hospitality. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. Romans 12, 13. The verses on the screen are from the Holman Bible. Very close to the ESV. Letter A in your outline, pursue hospitality. Now look at the verse. share with the saints in their needs. I don't know how much you know about grammar, but this next phrase is a command. Pursue hospitality. This is something that the New Testament comes to us and says, look, I'm commanding you. This is a command. You have a house, you have an apartment, you need to be pursuing hospitality. But I want you to notice something. You see the two letters in blue there? There's something interesting I want you to notice. If you have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 12, I want you to notice at the beginning of chapter 12, verse 9, it says, love must be without hypocrisy. And then it goes on. And one of the outfleshings of showing love to others is hospitality. In the three major commands in the New Testament, you're going to find that love is always linked with hospitality. Love, pursue, hospitality. Now, I want you to notice something here. The verb in this verse, Leon Morris says, the verb for hospitality points to vigorous effort. Not in the making of the meal, but in the pursuing of the concept. In other words, as believers, we should vigorously seek to open our homes in hospitality. The Greek scholar C.K. Barrett puts it this way. Here's how he translates this. I like this. Practice hospitality with enthusiasm. Interesting. Did we know that the hospitality issue were commands? Turn in your Bibles, letter B in your outline, to 1 Peter 4, 8 and 9. Now you'll notice on the screen there's two words in blue again. What are those two letters? The two words, love and hospitality. Again, hospitality in the New Testament is always linked with the concept of loving others. Let's read the verse. Very powerful verse. Above all. You know what above all means in Greek, right? It means above all. Above all, maintain an intense love for each other. Many years ago when I was studying this verse, one of the Greek scholars put it this way. Keep love for each other at a boiling point. You can picture a big pot on the stove and it's bubbling and the top is rattling and steam's coming out. That's the idea. This is the kind of love we should have for one another. Notice what it says. In our love for each other, be hospitable to one another without complaining. So again, we see love connected with hospitality, and we're to keep that love at a boiling point for one another. Now, over the years, sometimes we hear comments, Fenton Crossing is not a loving church. Maybe, I don't see that, but some people have seen it over the years. Maybe we are the key, you are the key to making Fenton Crossing a more loving place. Do we open our homes? Do we keep love at a boiling point? For example, when you came in today, do you have something going in the crock pot at home so you could look around, you know what, there's a lonely person, there's a couple that needs encouragement, I'm going to invite them to my home. We're going to talk about how to get a mind frame. Remember, we're talking about getting those antennas up for other people. Let's move on. Mr. Nathan Smith wrote a book called Roots, Renewal, and the Brethren. And in that he quotes our movement way back at its beginning. And notice what he says. He's talking about the brethren in the early days. They visited freely in each other's homes and met frequently for meals and fellowship. In those early days, they became known as those who forsook all things and showed hospitality to all people. This latter characteristic is still true to a great extent, for the brethren are known to be a people given to hospitality. Don't you love that last part? The brethren were given to be a people for hospitality. This is Nathan Smith in a historical critique of the brethren. Let's fast forward today. This next slide, I'm going to show you a quote from another man who is very keen. I believe he has a pulse on what is going on in our movement across the land. And here's what he says about hospitality. Mr. Alex Strauch says this in his book, "Most often, only a few families within a local congregation ever share in the ministry of hospitality." What happened? We were known as people of the open door. What happened in the modern society? The observation is that only a few, really, in a congregation intentionally and purposefully and consistently practice this loving act of hospitality. Now, did you notice that verse in Peter? It says, "Do it without complaining." I've always wondered, why does it say that? Well, hospitality demands old-fashioned hard work, doesn't it? You know, when Cindy and I have people over, you know what it includes? We got to clean up our house because we don't want them to see what our house really looks like, you know, when nobody's there. And then we got to go shopping, prepare the meal, do the dishes, and if we have a large crowd, guess what I have to do when everybody goes home? Got to clean again. So it's two cleanings. It's old-fashioned. It's costly. Why does he say do it without complaining? Well, it's often inconvenient. Frankly, in my flesh, my selfishness, I'd rather go home, kick back, and watch the Cards. You can eat wherever you want. It's often inconvenient. It's time-consuming. Sometimes Cindy and I finish putting the dishes away, and it's 4 o'clock on a Sunday, and the day's already gone. It's time-consuming. And it can place a strain on a family, especially if you have young children and a real busy schedule. Now, I would like to introduce you to a person that lives in each of our hearts. This person I have affectionately called the me monster. This me monster lives in each of our hearts. When the me monster considers hospitality, here's his attitude. Hospitality, blank, blank, blank. No, 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 no. Me! In other words, no. Hospitality, that's for serving others. I want this afternoon to be about me, my needs, my rest, me, me, me. Beloved, we have to slay the me monster when it comes to hospitality. Here's what Alex says in his book. Selfishness is the single greatest enemy of hospitality. It's not the condition of your home or your budget or any of these other things. It is the me monster saying, I want my day to be about me. Letter C in your outline. Don't forget hospitality. Have you noticed these are commands? It's not like Paul and Peter going, listen, if you got extra time and you have this kind of leaning to help other people, this is a hospitality command. And I want you to notice these first three commands are not directed towards elders. They are general commands for all of us. I believe this is the strongest one. Let brotherly love continue. Now you'll notice, again, whenever you see hospitality, you always have love. Let brotherly love continue. Don't neglect to show hospitality. For doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. Third command now. Love and hospitality are linked together. It reminds me of a verse way back in Job. Here's what Job says. No stranger had to spend the night on the street, for I opened my door to the traveler. That's a cool verse. I like that. Now, that verse talks about when you have hospitality. The verse said in Hebrews that we entertain angels unaware. What do you think that means? Well, let me introduce you to a list of people that when they had people over their house, they actually ended up being angels. Abraham and Sarah. Remember when Abraham and Sarah were in the tent and they had three visitors? Two of them were angels and one of them was the very Lord Jesus Christ, I believe. Lot entertained somebody, turned out to be an angel. Gideon, the parents of Samson. All these people have something in common. Each showed hospitality to strangers who turned out to be angels. Now, I don't think the author of Hebrews is saying have people over and you're going to have angels. I don't think that's the point. I think what he's saying is when you have people over, expect unexpected things to happen. Let me show you. Unexpected blessings and reward when we have people over to dinner. For example, some people come over to your house, it's like having medicine in the form of laughter. When we have people over, we have a good conversation at the table. We laugh. We have a good time. Unexpected blessing, refreshment and encouragement. What else happens? Fresh knowledge and perspective on life that people bring to us. Many people are islands. They don't like hanging around people. And what happens is their view of life becomes skewed. We need each other. I need you to tell me, Kevin, you're off base on this. You need to consider this. And sometimes I need to say that to you in a loving way. We need each other. Insight into the scriptures. Challenges, strengthening, enrichment. Let me give you an illustration. As you know, we had our area-wide conference last week. What a blessing that was, those two Glock men. We actually had the privilege after Saturday's conference to have them into our home. Now, I don't think they're angels, but I will tell you this. Cindy and myself, Tim and Erica, we received unexpected blessings that day. We were the blessed. You know the Glocks, right? Listen, they refreshed us. They encouraged us. We had an hour and a half while my set it and forget it was preparing to meet, where we just sat and we talked. They encouraged us. They gave us fresh perspective on life. Here's a 72-year-old man that's seen everything that needs to be seen in the assemblies, and I got him for an hour and a half to pick his brain. When we sat down at the scripture at the table, see this one? I had been carrying around for years questions that I've had about the Bible that I really don't have time to talk to people about. And we talked about 1 John, we talked about Hebrews, and I got unexpected blessings and rewards, and so did my loved ones. Listen, when we were in South America, living in the city of Quito, Shell, in the Amazon jungle, we would have people over all the time. Mine and Cindy's lives are blessed and have been enriched. What a blessing to see my children sitting there for hours listening to my colleagues, our colleagues from other countries, missionaries, people in the work. We receive blessings by having people in our homes. And I think this is the last part of Hebrews, the passage. You have people over to your house and you're going to start receiving blessings you never thought were going to happen. Now here's God's perspective on hospitality. This is Matthew 25, verses 34 and 35, and then verse 40. Then the king will say to those on his right. We sang a song just now. The king is coming. Beloved, he is coming. And we are going to give an account. Listen to this. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now notice what it says here. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was a stranger, and you took me in. And the king will answer them, I assure you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers of mine, you did it for me. You know what that means? Our inheritance, not our entrance into the kingdom. Our entrance is based on being born again. But our inheritance in it is based on how we live, how we love, how we serve others. And it's a big deal. The Lord picked these two out. You gave me something to eat. You took me in. You want a full inheritance in the kingdom of God? Open up your homes. Don't worry about people spilling things on your rug or getting smudges on the wall. Just do what I do. Every 6 months I get out the paint and I just paint it. It's easy to do. Letter D. Letter D. Hospitality is actually one of the requirements to be a spiritual leader in the local church. 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to be an overseer, he desires a noble work. An overseer, therefore, notice these next two words, must be. Not salad bar theology. He must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, self-controlled, sensible, respectable. What else? Hospitable. Says the same thing in Titus 1, 7 and 8. An overseer as God's administrator must be blameless, not arrogant, not hot-tempered, not addicted to wine, not a bully, not greedy for money, but, here it is, hospitable. But I want to make this point. These last two are requirements for elders, but the three passages that we studied just now before this are general commands to the Christian community, not to elders. You know why hospitality is so important for shepherds? Listen, shepherding can't be done from a distance with a smile and a handshake on Sunday morning. It can't happen in a 10-minute conversation over donuts or back in the back foyer. Something magical happens when you have people in your house. We have noticed that if we have people in our home, something, that relationship changes forever. Something magical about our homes. Point number three, hospitality and the Christian community. The local church, listen, this here, this is not a business. We're not a corporation. We're brothers and sisters. We're friends. I was on the phone this week with a colleague of mine who lives out of state. He was entertaining his unsaved relatives that week, and they were off seeing some sights, and he was in his car calling me because he had already seen the sights, and he was saying, you know, he says, I really love my family and I want to see them come to know the Lord, but I don't have the fellowship that I have just talking on the phone with you. Isn't it true that my relationship with you is much stronger than my relationship with my neighbors and my family members that don't know the Lord? We're a family. We're going to spend eternity together. The local church that we find in the pages of the New Testament shows itself to be a close-knit family of brothers and sisters. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about some of the characteristics of the early church. Did you know that they greeted one another with a holy kiss? Now, we don't do that, but Luis, down in Mexico and Ecuador, you know what? When I go in the local assembly on Sunday morning, you go around and you kiss all the ladies. It's a holy kiss. It's on the cheek. We're a family. We don't do that. When you go to work, do you kiss your boss? You don't kiss your boss. Probably punch you in the nose. This is something different that we have here. In the early church, the Christians shared material possessions. You're hurting? We've got funds. What else? The early Christians, they met in homes. The early Christians ate their meals together, 1 Corinthians 11. I love our fellowship dinners. They cared for their widows and widowers. The early Christians, when appropriate, they disciplined their members. I know discipline has fallen from grace in these days and age, but discipline is necessary. We need each other. You need to be watching me, and if I stray, you better come to me. I'll come to you in a gentle and humble way. The early Christians did this. Why? At church, you just get fired. Nobody disciplines you or trains you, but in a Christian community, a family, we practice discipline. It's biblical. We'd be amiss if we didn't. The early Christians provided guiding principles of conduct. Your boss isn't going to pull you aside and say, listen, I notice you're having some problems in your marriage or you're spending too much time here. You should be with your wife, your husband, blah, blah, blah. We do that here because we're a family. That's what love does. And the early Christians, they showed hospitality to one another. It's interesting to look at some of the critiques of unbelievers as they stand off and they look at the church. Here's a man named Trilling a long time ago in the 3rd century, an African writer, and here's his criticism of the Christian community according to him. See how they love one another and how ready they are to die for each other. This is an unbeliever off to the side looking on at God's children. And this is his criticism. Here's another one from a man named, I don't know what to do with that name, Caecilius. Here's his criticism of Christians. Hardly have they met when they love each other. Indiscriminately, they call each other brother and sister. I like that critique, don't you? Some criticisms I don't like. I like that one. That should be the criticism of people who see it. They hardly know each other. They sacrifice their lives. They empty their bank accounts to help those in need. They open their doors. That's the kind of criticism we need. Notice what Romans 12, verse 10 says. Now we're on the emphasis of Christian family. Show family affection to one another. This isn't a business again. With brotherly love. Two concepts. Family affection, brotherly love, and I love this last part, outdo one another in showing honor. The great scholar and famous Bible translator James Moffat said this, no church has any prospect of stability or chance of existence in the sight of God if it neglects brotherly love. You believe that? Through hospitality, beloved, we share our most prized possessions. What do we share? We share our family. We share our home. We share our finances, our food, oh, and our privacy and our time. You see how important this is? I want to show you on this next slide what you can provide to your brothers and sisters. Through hospitality, we provide, and I want you to see, are these important? They certainly are. We provide friendship and acceptance when we have people in our homes. We provide fellowship and refreshment. You know how it is. We come in here battered every week. The boss yells at us, problems during the week. It's like pouring oil in somebody's wound, what hospitality does. Comfort and love. Now, remember the me monster? Many of us come to church and we cross our arms to see, oh, I'm going to see if anybody loves me. I'm going to see if anybody cares about me. I got a whole list of people who haven't invited me over. You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13? Love does not keep a list of wrongs done. I want to encourage you today. Don't wait around to see if somebody loves you. You want to be a popular person here at Fenton Crossing? You start purposefully and consistently inviting people into your home to minister to them, and you're going to find out your life is going to be totally revolutionized. Hospitality. Listen, beloved, unless we open the doors of our homes to one another, the reality of the local church as a close-knit family of loving brothers and sisters is only a theory. I ask you today, are you hospitable? Do you purposely pursue with enthusiasm? When you came today, you know, as elders, we always have our antennas up in the back. No new person ever comes here. One might slip through the cracks in a year. No person ever comes here without it being asked back to the home or out to lunch. Do you have that mentality? When you came today, was hospitality even on your radar? This is a command, beloved. This isn't a job for elders. I'm going to encourage you next week and from the rest of your life, when you come here, look around. Who needs? Maybe not Sunday. Maybe it could be Friday. Whatever works in your schedule. You know why? A cold, unfriendly church contradicts the message that we proclaim. You know, it's one thing to have visitors come in. Welcome to our church. We're so glad you're here. But I have a question. Does our welcome end at the back door of the church? It's one thing to say welcome and have a smile, which we should do, by the way. But it's another thing to have them in our home. Do we end our Christian love at the back door of our local church? We need to be thinking about that. You know why? Beloved, our homes are the best tools we have to enhance loving Christian community. I believe what Martin Luther says. I will guarantee you, I preach here a lot. I agree with Martin. More happens in our home, on a couch, around a meal, than we ever accomplish here at the pulpit. Finally, point number 4. You'll notice on the screen here we have a lighthouse imagery. Your house in your dark neighborhood should be a lighthouse. Hospitality and our friends and neighbors. Our home, lighthouse for the gospel. Let's move on. Michael Green, in his book Evangelism in the Early Church, said this. One of the most important methods of spreading the gospel in antiquity was by the use of the homes. Forgive me, I'm going to climb up on one of my hobby horses right now for the next 30 seconds, maybe 60. Something terrible has happened over the last decades in America. These historians are saying church work basically took place in the home. We all practice the priesthood of believers. You know what happens now? we take our neighbors to church, we hand them off to the pastor, and now it's their job to lead them and disciple them. I got to go and pursue the American dream. That is wrong. You don't call pastor, hey, my neighbor wants to get saved, I'll hang up on you. Don't call me to witness to your neighbor. Now, if you want a class on how to witness, you see what I'm saying? We have got this mentality that the pastor, the missionary, the full-time worker, the elder, those are the ones that I got to get my neighbors to them. I'll bring him at the Christmas party. He'll hear the gospel then. No. Don't bring folks here to hear the gospel. I mean, it's okay if you do. Use your home as a lighthouse to the gospel. End my hobby horse. Here's what Robert and Julia Banks say. It is often forgotten that the Christianity which conquered the Roman Empire was essentially a home-centered movement. Use your home. It's one of the best tools we have for evangelism. Something magical happens in your home. You serve your neighbors. You serve your friends. You use your time, your energies. Bob Smith out at Bethel College says, and I don't know how he got this statistic, but I don't know the real statistic, but you know what? 90% of evangelism is love. You start bringing people in your home and loving them, something is going to change, and you're going to have the opportunity to witness to them. Now, we're almost finished. I want to give you a barrage of helpful hints, practical stuff that you can take home. Putting hospitality theory into practice. It's one thing to know it's a command. And I beg you this morning, beloved, I pray that this isn't just one of those messages where you close your Bible, oh, that was good, he's up there ranting and raving, and then we forget about it. We need to be purposeful. Notice in blue, plan ahead, be intentional. Hint number one, set a regular time each week or month to show hospitality. I guarantee you, if you go out the back door today and you forget about this, you will never consistently practice hospitality. At best, a blip here, a blip there, a flash in the frying pan. You must go home, sit down with your spouse, or if you're single, get out your calendar. Cindy and I like Sunday afternoons. Right now, there's things bubbling and cooking on my kitchen counter at home. We're having a whole crew over after church today. You must plan. Now listen. What about your neighbors? Well, I'll talk about that in a minute. If you do not go home and purposely do this, it'll just be another what was that message 3 weeks ago? Something about hospitality. Would you do me a favor? Go home, get out your calendar, look around. Get out your church directory. This isn't rocket science. One family per month, you can have 12 families in your home in a year. Imagine the impact you can have in people's lives. And imagine how God is going to change your life. Look at your neighbors. We'll talk about that in a second. Hint number two. Make a list of the guests. If we do not do this, it'll just go by the way. Here's some suggestions. These are not all of them. New people in your church. Over the years, people say, hey, what? Those people have been in our church for 6 months and I still don't know what their names are. Have them over. You'll remember them for the rest of your life. People that are lodging for divided homes. You know, in a church, we're not all perfect people. We got a lot of slop going on, don't we? And sometimes people separate or there's hard times. Have them into your home. People are really good about that here. Appreciation. Do you know that year in and year out, you are being served by your musicians? People are teaching your kids Sunday school for years. People are taking your kids on youth group trips. Did you ever think about having them over and just saying, hey, thank you for your ministry and how you bless me and my family through the years? Singles away from home or in the military. Luis has been here. How long you been here, Luis? He's a single. Have he been in your home yet? Here's a single. Have him over. Sorry to embarrass you. He's gonna yell at me later. I forgot to ask him if I could use him as an example. You like being invited over for meals? All right. See, there you go. How about the elderly and the widows? Look around. Life isn't all about us. Let's move to the neighborhood. How about this? Go home today. Your home should be the hub. We should be the examples, the community directors in our neighborhoods. Here's a simple suggestion. Yeah, I'm busy. Okay, how about once a month? That's not much. Once a month, make a list of the neighbors you want to have over. Have them over. Set a specific time frame. Okay, how about Friday night? We don't have nothing going on Friday night. You can host a neighborhood event, a barbecue, an open house. Now, this is off the record, whatever that means. A couple months ago, I was out of state visiting one of my colleagues. And we were talking about this very issue. He said, you know, I've tried everything to get my neighbors over. We've invited them for dinner. We've invited them for barbecues, evangelistic Bible studies, and none of them came until somebody gave me an idea. Now, I am not advocating or not advocating this. He said, somebody said, look, why don't you have a wine and cheese tasting? I don't feel comfortable. But they did it. They went to the supermarket. They got the number of guests, the wine, the special cheese. And he said, everybody on the street came except one family. Hey, if it takes that to get people out of the lake of fire, I'm not going to endorse it. You didn't hear that from me. Number three, beloved, make use of the holidays. What do I mean? Host a neighborhood Christmas party. Ladies, have a Christmas tea for the ladies on your block. You know what I find? People really love talking about important things. We got this idea that nobody wants to talk about that. Invite needy, lonely people for Thanksgiving. Somebody at your work. Somebody that's just lost a spouse. There's all kinds of ideas that we can include the elderly and widows in your holidays. Point number four. Hospitality is not rocket science. Collect and file inexpensive recipes. Use your crock pot. Okay? You see this over here? That's what I have. The other day when the two Glocks came, we got home. Cindy put the pork roast in the set it and forget it, and we actually forgot it for an hour and a half while we talked, and then it went bing, and it was done. I took it out. We sliced this juice. Very easy. This is not rocket science. Here's another one. Organize for quick, inexpensive, sumptuous meals. There's all kinds of inexpensive meals. You don't have to break the bank. Listen to what Alex says. Hospitality is to be a service to others, not an ego inflator. What does he mean? He means you don't have to kill the fatted calf and get out your fine china. Inexpensive meals. Put the crock pot on. We had crock yesterday, didn't we, Jimmy? Number five, think ahead. Be interested in people's lives. Prepare key questions. When people come to my house, I got a whole list of questions I want to ask them. Hey, how did you guys meet? Tell me about your marriage. How are you going to get married? What are your future plans? What about children? How are your children doing? When did you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I notice you're new at Fenton. What do you think your spiritual gifts are? What about ministry? You see? Think ahead. Number six, be creative in activities with your guests. For example, take a walk together, board games, play out in the backyard. Maybe some people are so battered they need prayer. Maybe others need encouragement from the scriptures. Maybe you can watch a movie together. People come over and they want to see, I want to see the mission trip to Fiji or whatever. People love seeing our mission slides from when we were in the jungle when I had dark hair and our kids were about that we laughed together. You can think of better things. Think about it. Have fun together. Laughter is like what? Medicine. Take some medicine. Number seven, all kinds of wonderful books on how to have hospitality. Matter of fact, here's three of them. By the way, they're in the back of this book. I've just chosen three of them. The Personal Touch by Rachel Crabb. Open Heart, Open Home, Karen Burton Maines. Hospitality with Confidence, Grace Pittman. Read. Get great ideas. And then finally, pray. So wait a minute, what does prayer have to do with hospitality? How about this? How about that God will give you joy through hospitality? Peter knows. You know, he says, hey, do it with gladness. He knows there could be some issues. The me monster raises its ugly head. Pray that God would give you joy. God converted me. I didn't want people in my house spilling stuff on my new floor. That was 30 years ago. I love having people in our home. We need to do it more. How about this? Pray that God will show you the importance of hospitality. And then finally, confess any selfishness and disobedience regarding the hospitality commands. This is our last quote. This is by Helga Henry. You probably know her famous theological husband. She said this, Christian hospitality is not a matter of choice. It's not a matter of money. It's not a matter of age, social standing, sex, or personality. Christian hospitality is a matter of obedience to God. Now, why does she say that? Because as she studied the scriptures, she found out that the hospitality, they're not called hospitality suggestions. They're called hospitality commands. As we close today, is your home an open home? I would like to challenge you today and encourage you, beloved. Since you've been at Fenton Crossing, is your home an open home? If it is not, and I hate to say this, it's hard, I know, politically correct and all that, but you are in disobedience to the Word of God. That's why we're talking about repentance and taking this before the Lord. We want a good, loving Christian community. Maybe you're the key. Maybe using your home, you open up your door. Is your home a welcoming place? Or has the me monster shut down your house? Do you go week in, month in, year in, with little or no hospitality? And by the way, I'm not talking about having your friends and your relatives over. That's level A. This is beyond that. This is ministering to one another. And so, I want to close. I do want to tell you that this is probably the first time in history that I preach here that we're closing early. Just throw that out. Seriously, I want to encourage you today. I guarantee you, you will receive unexpected blessings when you open up your home. And you purposely and consistently use your home for the ministry of hospitality, both in the lives of the saved to build up the Christian community and reach the unsaved around us. I beg you, please do not leave here, oh, that was good. Go home, sit down with your spouse, make purposeful decisions. We need to change, and then make a plan. Start easy if you're not confident about this. One neighbor, one person a month, 12 people in a year. Imagine the impact that we can have. Anyway, that concludes our message. Let us close in prayer. Father, I confess that in my heart, the me monster raises its ugly head. I repent today, Lord, of being selfish and stingy at times. Lord, I pray that we become a more loving and hospitable community by opening our homes one to another and to our colleagues, our friends, and our neighbors. Help us to be obedient to the hospitality commands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.